This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, episode 14, Ceviche. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Find online at AskChefJacob.com, part of the StellaCulinary.com podcast network, I guess you could call it. We're just here to help you learn more about cooking, to take your cooking to the next level. And in this episode, we are going to discuss a question that I got from Molly. And Molly says,
I'd like to know more about ceviche, what it is, the science behind it, and what types of things you can do with it.
Well, okay, Molly, short and to the point. I like your style. Ceviche is basically, it is fish that is cooked or marinated in acidic liquid, most commonly citrus juice. And the most common of those citrus juices are lime and lemon, but you also will sometimes see various regional ceviches that are made with sour orange, grapefruit, sometimes even some forms of vinegar. And so ceviche originated in South America, and it's a large part of that culture in general. You'll find it all over South America. In Peru, it's, you know, basically their national dish or part of their national heritage. Ecuador, Chile, Mexico, they all have their own versions all the way down from that are country specific. But it all comes down back to the exact same thing, where what you're doing is you are mixing an acidic liquid with raw fish. And what that does is it takes the proteins in that raw fish and it denatures them, much like cooking does. So when you apply heat to a raw protein, those proteins unravel and they become firm. And that's what gives you a firmed piece of flesh after cooking. Now, the exact same thing happens when you apply acid to fish, which is denaturing the proteins in that fish and giving it a cooked appearance and texture. Now, it is important to note, though, that even though the acid is on a physical level denaturing those proteins and giving it a cooked appearance and texture, it's not cooking it from a food safety standpoint, which if you use fresh fish shouldn't be an issue, but there are a few caveats. One of the major ones being that you want to make sure that you don't use any fish from freshwater sources or fish that migrate into freshwater sources such as salmon. So salmon will live in the sea, but it will also migrate up the river to spawn into fresh waters. And this is because salmon carries the Anacostia strain of tapeworm. And cooking to the appropriate temperature will kill the tapeworm, but acidification of the raw meat, such as ceviche, will not kill the tapeworm. Now, one way around this, if for whatever reason you really want salmon ceviche, you can buy farm-raised salmon, which is raised in an environment to where it will not have this tapeworm in it. And this is why most sushi restaurants will actually use farm-raised salmon, because they're serving it raw, sashimi style, and they know that it doesn't have the tapeworm in it. They will also commonly freeze the salmon for a number of days, which can kill the tapeworm as well. But salmon and freshwater fish, even though it's, I mean, besides the fact that it's dangerous to use it for ceviche, isn't really that good for ceviche anyways. Using farm-raised salmon, I've made ceviche with it before, and it's just not my favorite fish to use. Some of my favorites are firm white flesh fish. So Corvina sea bass, Patagonia toothfish, also known as Chilean sea bass. Halibut works very well for ceviche. And also shellfish, shrimp, scallop. I think scallop is probably one of my all-time favorites. But really any shellfish will work. And as far as serving it goes, serving it is region-specific. Sometimes it's served alongside corn on the cob. Sometimes it's served as a cocktail where you just spoon it out of a large margarita glass. You see that at some, you know, resorts in Mexico. So you can eat it as is. I like it with something crunchy, so chips. So if I'm making ceviche, I want to have some form of like chip alongside it. And one of my all-time favorite ways to eat ceviche is on a tostada. So you have the fried crispy tortilla, and you just pile that with ceviche, and it is absolutely amazing. Garnish with a little bit of a lime, cilantro, maybe some chili. And as far as making your own ceviche, I have a recipe on stellaculinary.com, which I'll place a link to in this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. And so if you want to find the show notes, you can go to stellaculinary.com/ACJ14, and that will take you to this episode's show notes. So stellaculinary.com/ACJ14, and I will place a link to our ceviche recipe there. But if you've subscribed to our email newsletter, our bonus download is our F is for Flavor PDF, where we talk a lot about flavor structure and how to create your own flavor structures. And that's really the first step in getting you away from using recipes. And in the F is for Flavor PDF, I talk about a concept that I call a flavor punch, where when you're trying to construct a really flavorful dish, you will pick one of the primary flavors, like acid, sweet, salt, bitter, and you will blow it way out into left field, making it unpalatably strong. And then you use your understanding that we discuss in Ethics for Flavor. You use balancing ingredients to draw that flavor structure back into line. Now, how does this relate to ceviche? Well, my favorite way to make ceviche, and I'll make it all the time without a recipe, is I start by just dicing the fish, whether it's shellfish or some form of white sea bass or halibut, and I'll cover the diced fish with lime juice, just enough fresh squeezed lime juice to cover the diced fish. And then I'll taste it, and it'll be absolutely sour and too strong. So I'll go back and I'll add a little bit of sugar just to balance off the acidity of the lime juice. And the sugar will bring that lime juice back into balance. Now from there, I will add a pinch of salt, maybe a couple pinches of salt, again, tasting as I go, as I'm bringing that salt level up. And then from there, it's just whatever flavorings you are into. So for me, I like diced red onion or minced red onion. You can use shaved onion. I like cilantro. And that's you. I'm trying to think what else I would. Oh, and also sometimes I'll dice tomatoes. So I'll de-seed, take the seeds out of the tomato, and I'll dice it. And I also like diced cucumber as well. So I'll peel the cucumber, remove the seeds, and dice it. And I'll put links in this episode's show notes as well to some of the knife skill techniques I just mentioned. And you're just adding it by sight for texture. So that way, when you take a bite of ceviche, you're getting a little bit of a diced cucumber, getting some diced onion, and then some fresh cilantro that's mixed in. Now, most ceviche, so it depends on the fish that you're using, but it will normally take about 2 to 3 hours for the fish to fully marinate in the lime liquid, or in your acidulated liquid, which is normally lime juice. Now, past 3 hours, it'll hold pretty well for about another 3 to 4 hours. But if you want to hold it any longer than that, I recommend straining off any excess juice. And that's because the fish will continue to cook, and it will eventually, by the next day, it will definitely start to get a sort of a mealy, almost overcooked texture. And that's from the proteins just fully coagulating. So your best bet is to make the ceviche a couple hours ahead of time and then serve it immediately. Anything left over, just strain off the juice and then place the strained ceviche in an airtight container and store in your fridge, and try and eat it within the next day or two. And this is a really great summer dish because it's fairly simple to make. You don't have to use any sort of heat source, so you're not going to heat up your house making it. And you just serve it in a bowl alongside some tortilla chips or tostada shells, or even just as is in its own liquid. I mean, in Ecuador, they actually take shots of this liquid as they're consuming the ceviche. So you just make it a few hours ahead when you have your party guests over. You put it in a bowl, you put it in a side of chips, and you're ready to go. So that's ceviche. Molly, I appreciate your question. If you have any more questions, you can head on over to AskChefJacob.com, and that will just drop you into a Stella Culinary page that gives you a list of all of the Ask Chef Jacob podcast episodes that we have currently done to date. And then you can submit your own question on that page. We have a nifty little voice recording app that you just click the record button. Whatever device you're using, whether it's your cell phone or your computer, it just activates the microphone. You can leave me a voicemail message that I can then play on an upcoming episode. Now, if you're shy, you can always just email me at jacob@stellaculinary.com and just place in the subject field Ask Chef Jacob. And I'd be happy to just read your email live on an upcoming episode and answer your question that way as well. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. For more information, head on over to AskChefJacob.com for past episodes to submit your own question. You can also reach me on Twitter at Chef Jacob. Watch our 180-plus free educational cooking videos that you can find on StellaCulinary.com. And I will see you in next episode.